A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line for A Problem Shared. Tony, good morning to you.
And what a lovely morning it is, Jerry.
A beautiful morning. And hopefully we have many more of them, Tony. But I think we're in for a bit of rain, but sure, we'll get through that as well. Tony,
it wouldn't be Ireland if we didn't have rain, for God's sake.
That is true. That is very true indeed. Listen, Tony, we're going to start with a query that's come in. And it says, I've always had a good relationship with my wife's family and parents. I'm in a WhatsApp group. They call over regularly, etc. And we chat on the phone. But usually when my wife passes the phone to me after she calls them, I'm not one for making phone calls, even to my own family. Over the weekend, it was commented that I never call my in-laws directly. It really hurt me. I'm not one for making calls, as we're in a lot of contact anyway. Am I being unreasonable by not making direct calls to them?
Yes and no. I mean, there's no hard answer to that sort of a question. But, you know, some people are better communicators than others. And, you know, I communicate all right with you, Jerry, but I may not be that good with some of my relatives. And you can't nail down a person. What I would say, it is important to keep in contact with at least your close relatives. And you should do that every, whatever, a few weeks or a few months or whatever. But there's no hard and fast rule about it. And if you are not a good communicator, then it's very awkward to be put on the phone and have to make, as it were, useless conversation, as some people would term it, you know?
This guy says that, like, no, we do chat on the phone, but I never initiate it. Like, the phone is handed over to me. I never kind of call, I suppose cold call, is that how you term it, Tony? Pick up the phone and call somebody for no reason or directly, but he's no problem talking to them on the phone, but he never kind of initiates it. Does that matter?
It does, depending on who you're ringing, you know, but I mean, my close friends and a couple of close relatives, I will every now and again pick the phone up and say, how are things, just touching base with you, and that's important. But if it's just a bunch of friends, there's no rule about that, you know. And if he's uncomfortable about taking those calls, then just stay out of the way. That'd be my advice to him.
That's the overall thing. But look, there's a wider question as well. I know there's a couple of pieces in the paper about this as well, in terms of social integration and people kind of retreating within themselves. And again, it might be an element of it goes back to the pandemic, but actually the communications regulator came up with figures that showed that phone calls, the numbers of them, are dropping like a stone. People aren't calling each other anymore. Now, there's other ways of communicating, but it's not the same. Are there societal issues there, Tony, I wonder, in terms of our sociability and being in contact with one another?
Well, I think we dealt with that before. I feel there's huge change happening in the world. Communication is just one of them. And the threats to the world are there, of course, as well. But the way people communicate has changed at least 6 or 8 major times during my lifetime. And, you know, there was a telephone. It was, you know, at least a half a mile down the road, and you had to make sure you had the right coppers or whatever to put into it to make a phone call. That was the only communication when I was a kid. And it has exploded in the last few years. I don't have a smartphone myself because I just can't cope with constant communication in my pocket. So I have a phone. Yeah, it's a mobile phone, but it just takes texts and phone calls. And everybody is different in what they can handle. Some people are awkward on the phone, but it's hard to define what's actually happening in the world. I think the COVID did have a major change in the world, and I think the evolution of the mobile phone has had an incredible change in the way how we communicate. And a lot of people, like myself, are only just beginning to adjust to it. And, you know, all of those things could impact on the figures you were mentioning there, that, you know, the amount of phone calls is decreasing. So I don't know. That's the the last answer I give you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, spot on. Tony, listen, we'll talk. If anyone's got a view or anyone's got your own observations about it, get in touch with us on the show. We want to hear from you on the programme. We'll have more with Tony and A Problem Shared after we take these.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line. Tony, my husband and I have recently declined to mind our two grandchildren on a regular basis, 2 days a week after school and also during the holidays. We were told that the other grandparents are willing to do this. We believe that we're being made to feel guilty. We're very, very willing to help out occasionally or in unusual circumstances. We feel our retirement is our time, though, and do not wish to be tied down regularly every week. Do you think we're being unreasonable or selfish, or how should we handle the matter?
I don't think you're 100% either right or wrong in this situation. It has a little smack of emotional blackmail about it. And, you know, these things usually come up from different points of view. And very often in life, we have a particular point of view. We feel it is the point of view. But of course, when you come up against other points of view, then you have to, as it were, modify your point of view. And I would agree with it, basically, yeah. I mean, trying to tie down grandparents 2 days of the week is a bit much. And, you know, we grew up all right in a society where the grandparents were very often in the house, and, you know, they did look after the kids to a fair extent. But our society has changed enormously, and we're living separately, and it's a hell of a hassle now to have to go collect grandchildren, mind them for several hours, and then hand them back. And if that's been requested regularly 2 days a week, that is a big ask. So it's up to yourself, really, I you know, whether you feel you can do it. And if it is a huge imposition, then you need to talk to the other person, because they may not see it from your point of view. That's, as I said, this is about point of view and communication. And if you can explain your point of view properly to them, no, they may not take it. And you could find yourself, you know, having a bit of an estranged relationship there. But at the same time, I would say try and explain in a non-heated way your point of view, that, you know, you will certainly mind them, you know, the odd few days, or if they were going away on a holiday, you might take them for a week even, whatever, but you're not going to take them on a day-to-day basis all year round. And if they understand that, and you can communicate that, but if they don't understand that, then you'll just have to put up with the fact that you're not getting your message across, and you know, that we agree to differ, as it were.
Yeah. And then like, give the commitment that you will help out occasionally, that you're not cutting off contact or anything as dramatic as that. You're just saying, we can't do what you're looking for us to do, but we will help out, you know, when you need it, or
absolutely,
on occasional times.
Explain the situation, and, you know, that you feel at this stage, no, you can't commit to anything on a regular...
And there's a physical side to it as well, Tony, minding young children if you are of an age...
Yeah, well, I mean, we recently minded our grandchildren for 3 days while their parents were away for a wee bit of a break. Didn't mind it, but I was exhausted because they're like wound up machines or endless batteries. They're just go. And yeah, there's that to it too, of course. But you don't mind doing it for the occasional situation. But if it was a week to week, you know, 2 days a week is a hell of an ask. That's a half a week's work, as it were, almost. It's a bit of an ask. And I would try to communicate. Don't blame them for it, because they must see it from a different point of view. But
yeah,
just explain your point of view.
Okay, Tony, another query is in from a listener. Says, this is about our son-in-law. I think he's trying to keep our daughter away from us. Every time we have some big family event, they never come to it. When I ask our daughter why she didn't come, she gets very uncomfortable and shifty. She never answers my questions. She does visit on her own, and her husband does go out some evenings with my husband, but I still think there is something wrong. What do I do?
Yeah, that's one that has to be handled again carefully. There might be nothing wrong, because if he goes out with the husband some evenings, he's evidently communicating with part of your family. The problem could be you. So what I would suggest again there is, consider what's going on in your own mind before you do anything. You know, there is a reluctance on his behalf to completely integrate with you. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is that? Your daughter doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to get caught in the middle and get, as it were, minced up in the mincer for taking points of view. So she's right to not get stuck in. So what I would suggest you do there is, if you get the opportunity, if you're sitting down with him and you can actually talk, it gets into real conversation rather than the weather and that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you can
begin
to, you know, ask him a few questions. And
would you want to be mindful, Tony, of the possibility, and not saying it's extreme of this in this case, that it might be a situation of coercive control? Like, is the husband possibly limiting the wife from meeting friends, or, you know, using it as a matter of control over her life?
There could be a bit of that, but it doesn't sound like it. If she's coming to visit and he goes out, as it says towards the end of the
note here,
with the husband, goes out for a drink in the evenings or whatever, he is not, you know, completely cutting off from the family by any means in that case. So it could be that there's just a personality clash with the wife in that case. And it doesn't seem to, from what I can read here, it doesn't seem to exist with the husband. So basically, you know, as I said, the way to find out before you start a war is to, what are you fighting about? What's going on here? And the best way to do that, as I say, is, you know, in a comfortable conversation, if that can be arranged. You might not be able to, get the chance, but you could try and have that conversation with your daughter and, you know, say, well, there's something going on and you're anxious to find out. And, you know, if you take it from that point of view rather than the combative, there tends to be, you know, with most human beings, we tend to go into a situation like that combatively. We're going to a war. We pull the guns out and then we ask the questions. So if you can avoid that sort of situation,
that's the way to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.